Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Med Talks, podcast by medical students for medical students. I'm Deborah. This is my partner,
Joey.
And today we are fortunate enough to be joined by Dr. Gunn, and he has so kindly agreed to give us an introduction into the new way forward of medicine, which is integrative medicine.
Yes, and welcome, dear listener. Thank you for joining us today. If you haven't, please would you go look at our social media pages. Our Instagram handle is at MedTalkZA. We've got some awesome content there. We've done some medical cases with multiple choice questions and answers. We've even got some IGTV videos done by yours truly. So if you don't mind, slide into our DMs, give us some feedback, ask us some questions. We're more than willing to get into touch. So now we move on to today's topic, integrative medicine. We will be doing this podcast over the phone with Dr. Gunn due to trying times and COVID-19, but I'm sure that won't be a problem, and we're looking forward to speaking with him. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Dr. Gunn. Firstly, could you maybe start by giving us some of your background information? Where did you study? How did you study? And where did you get to where you are now?
Yeah, sure, Joey. First of all, good morning to all of you and your colleagues. I really look forward to presenting some information to you on integrative medicine. So thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. I started a little bit in a non-conventional way. I started by studying for a science degree, a BSc in clinical psychology and microbiology at the University of Natal. Then I went on to Turkey's University of Pretoria Medical School, completed my MD-CHB degree there. Then I went down to Durban and I worked in accident and emergency medicine at Addington Hospital and did a course in ALS, Advanced Life Support.
Oh, wow, that's incredible.
Which is, yes, very good for accident and emergency medicine. I definitely recommend that all doctors do that. That was at the Technikon Natal Ambulance and Paramedics Academy. From there, I went to the UK. I went to London and worked in London and Southeast England in 9 different hospitals in accident and emergency medicine and orthopedic surgery. And there I got a tremendous amount of experience and was exposed to a lot of other doctors from around the world and some of the best consultants and equipment and procedures in the world.
Sure, I can imagine.
So that, yes, that was very valuable. I returned to South Africa and started in general practice, worked in general practice for approximately about 10 years. Then I moved up to Gauteng, to Johannesburg, and started in a practice in Randburg. From there, I moved across and opened up a practice opposite Monte Cassino. It was at the time when they were building that whole big complex.
Not for trauma now.
That was quite something watching that grow from nothing to what it is now.
Yeah.
Mm. I eventually became the doctor there for the Palazzo Fassa Hotel.
Met
a few interesting people you can imagine.
Definitely.
Celebrities and singers and actors and that from around the world.
That celebrity medicine.
Some of them. Absolutely. And then I also got involved in occupational health. I was a doctor on the mines for about 2 years or so on about 5 or 6 different mines. All over South Africa, ranging from the desert to Rustenburg.
Sure.
I also became the doctor for Sun City, and this is one for the men now, but I'm sure the women are also interested. Is I was the medical officer for the Miss World pageant.
That was
in 2001.
Jeez.
Just for research purposes, how does one get to that?
Yes, exactly.
Level.
Come see me afterwards and I'll tell you. So that I don't regard really as a job. So you can imagine, but it was quite hectic. You can imagine looking after 100 of the most beautiful women in the world.
Yeah.
I didn't complain, but they kept me busy. That's for sure. That was quite an experience.
Kept your hands full.
Yes, absolutely. But then I also had to look after all the guests. So they also got a handful.
Wow.
You can imagine 3,000 or so guests. Yes, I continued through this whole journey studying integrative medicine along this pathway. And I did have one or two great mentors.
Okay.
Shaped me and helped define my course in medicine. One brilliant man called Fricky van Kleinberg, who spent many years studying complementary alternative medicine. He was actually an engineer, a chemical engineer by background.
Oh, wow.
And the other was Professor Willem Serfontein, the ex-professor in chemical pathology at Tuckies Medical School.
Oh, wow, okay.
He taught me also a tremendous amount and had done a lot of research into integrative medicine, introduced me into the best German medical integrative clinics there in the world. And I'm very grateful to them. He eventually became my patient, my mentor, and he was my lecturer at university. And I miss him because he passed away a few years ago from Parkinson's disease.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry to hear that.
But these are, thank you. These are some giants in my life. I studied other subjects in the field of integrative medicine, like clinical nutrition, neuro-linguistic programming, psychoneuroimmunology, naturopathy, homeopathy, mind-body medicine, herbal medicine, oxygen-based therapy.
Sure.
Light and frequency medicine.
The list
yes.
goes
yeah, the
on.
It goes on a bit. And homotoxicology in Germany. I studied viroimmunotherapy in Latvia in Europe. I was the first doctor in South Africa to be trained in viroimmunotherapy
wow.
for cancer treatment.
So I would definitely feel very safe in your hands.
Thank you, Debbie.
Well,
looking
traveled,
back,
yeah.
I've probably treated about 50,000 patients from approximately, I would say, 25 different countries.
Jeez,
the patients come out for,
that's
you know,
insane.
For this form of treatment, which we'll discuss in more detail, yeah. and why patients choose that, you know.
Yeah. So I was very fortunate enough to meet Dr. Gunn in a period in my life where conventional medicine really wasn't working for me. And it was almost a coincidence that I had this opportunity to work with him, because it really helped me understand the flaws in our current medical system and gave me hope to know that there are actually doctors out there that actually care about the holistic view of the patient, which is actually what medicine should be about. So for those of us that don't yet know what integrative medicine is, Dr. Gunn, would you so kindly just explain what this entails? Just quite briefly, what are the pillars that integrative medicine is actually built up on?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so let's look broadly at a definition. So the definition would be the incorporation of three paradigms of medical treatment. It would be conventional medicine, which is also known as allopathic, or orthodox medicine,
mm-hmm.
which is approximately, we would say, 150 years of modern medicine. And then something called CAM, C-A-M, complementary alternative medicine, which
okay.
is based on all the previous systems of treatment going back hundreds and thousands of years, from Chinese medicine to Indian Ayurvedic medicine,
oh,
to
wow.
Amazonian medicine, to North American medicine, European medicine. It incorporates that diameter or that broad scope, and then cutting edge advanced medicine, the latest in medical technology. So if you take those three paradigms together, the complementary alternative, the conventional, and the advanced medicine, and put that into one new paradigm, That would describe integrative medicine.
So you're basically just getting the best of the best. That is what it is.
Absolutely. Totally true. It is a synergistic effect where 1 + 1 + 1 = 5. It just is far better than any one single modality. They each have their merits. Conventional medicine absolutely has its merits, and it is the foundation. So from an integrative physician point of view, you must always use conventional medicine as your foundation. And to be an integrative medicine physician, you obviously have to have an MBCHB or an MD degree. You then build on that foundation with the complementary and allied health systems, mm-hmm. of patient care, or diagnostics and methodologies of treatment. Mm-hmm. And then one would also study and investigate the latest in advanced medicine, cutting-edge technology. Your pillars would be the focus on mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and environmental health factors. Because we are, that's what constitutes us humans. We have these different dimensions to us. And if we're not addressing the mental side as well as the physical, emotional side, and even the environmental factors that shape us, we're not going to bring about total healing.
Yeah.
And we're not, it's obvious. And we're not going to be able to prevent disease if we haven't taken care of educating our patient. At the end of the day, doctor means teacher. So education is paramount, and prevention is still better than cure.
Yeah.
And the aim is to prevent disease and heal your patient, not manage and treat your patient.
No, I definitely hear you.
It's a whole paradigm shift moving from treating symptoms to treating a human being with all these spheres, like you spoke about, mental and physical and emotional and environmental, and these things.
Correct.
It's not something that we're taught in general med schools. Like you said, we need to stand on the shoulders of conventional medicine to get where we are, but then also apply this wide scope that you spoke about in your answer. Tell me, Dr. Gut.
Yes.
What led you towards integrated medicine? You spoke now earlier about your wide traveling and your wide variety of jobs, I could say, or
experiences
that you've had. What led you to integrated medicine?
Joey, what led me was actually, I think, the impetus behind it and the motivation came a lot from the death of my father, who died from a brain tumor. I returned from the UK to South Africa because he had a brain tumor, and that's where I was exposed to the limitations of modern conventional medicine. We performed the surgery. The neurosurgeon, excised as much of the tumor as he could. Chemotherapy was not an option because it just doesn't have a very good success rate with brain tumors. It's very low. It's extremely low. It's just it's not warranted, quite frankly. A very few percent. And radiation also has its drawbacks in terms of side effects, because you're dealing with the brain and very sensitive tissue that by either excising too much or radiating too much, you could actually induce damage in that region, and then the patient could be left with being paralyzed or cannot speak, or other factors. Yeah. So you're limited, So this made me realize that with my father, I felt very powerless and disappointed.
I can only imagine.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Debbie. So that prompted me now to go and look further, because I realized that surgery and pharmacology and chemotherapy was just not good enough. It has its place. So let's be very clear about that. Conventional medicine is absolutely excellent for emergency care. There's no question about it. Emergency care is absolutely tops. and what I call mechanical medicine. In other words, replacing a joint or replacing an organ transplant. Conventional medicine absolutely tops. But if we're talking about the treatment of chronic diseases, you know, this is where we're treating more about management as opposed to healing.
Yes.
And prevention. So fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, autoimmune diseases, cancer. This is where conventional medicine is not strong.
Yeah.
And we're able to manage it symptomatically with pharmacology or surgery, but we don't do that well at cure, especially in the cases of, you know, for example, cancer. So yes, that prompted me to go and study further and just to read up and study and experience and listen to as many different persons in these fields, doyens in these fields, pioneers in these fields, and of course the allied medical profession, the chiropractics, the homeopaths, the naturopaths, clinical nutritionists. I studied, you know, as much as I could to attain that knowledge, to empower myself to be a better doctor. Not a good doctor, a better doctor.
A better
healer. A healer rather than a manager.
Like you said.
And that's where I am now. You know, I have my own clinic now in Pretoria, not far from Steve Biko Medical School and private practice rooms in Silver Lake.
Coming from a place of personal hurt and seeing the personal limitations of conventional medicine that led you to this, it's an amazing answer. Thank you, Dr. Gunn.
Pleasure.
So I think this is just, as we've spoken about earlier, this is such a broad topic, but just coming down to something that seems to be quite a big, almost like a trend nowadays, but it's actually a very important topic, and I think it's not focused on enough in medical school, and that would be our diet. So our bodies function best when we feed our bodies the best, but I think a lot of people don't really reiterate or understand the fact that your gut is your first line of defense, and we as medical practitioners, we don't always keep that in mind. So there's honestly, well, from what I've read, there's recently a lot more data that shows a strong link to gut health, cancers, cardiovascular disease, and well as surprisingly depression. But so many practitioners, they're not really holistically inclined. And that being said, what is your view on diet and gut health, and what are some of the integrative remedies that we can use as doctors to help our patients build their immunities and combat these illnesses?
Yes, that'd be a very good point and excellent question. Absolutely. If I have to single out a few factors and fields of medical interest that must be incorporated, it would be diet, exercise, lifestyle, the mind-body side of the person, the individual.
Yeah.
So if you're going to look at the gut, bear in mind that you're eating and drinking three or more times a day, and everything that goes into the body has to be assimilated in some sort of way. It has to be broken down. It has to go into the bloodstream. It has to go to the various organs and trillions of cells and do its job. But having said that, it's just like a motor vehicle. If you can have the best Ferrari or Lambo in the world with an amazing engine, and if you're putting the wrong fuel in or the wrong oil or the wrong spark plugs, or your battery's flat, that vehicle is not going to go, not so.
Yeah, very true.
Exactly the same thing as the gut. The gut has a microbiome system consisting of trillions of virus, bacteria, fungi, etc., like candida and parasites, and it's going to become almost as important as the genome. The study of the DNA and the genes and the study of the microbiome are almost going to equal each other, because they're realizing more and more the connection between the gut and the immune system. 60-70% of your immune system is in your lymphoid tissue and immune tissue surrounding the gut.
Yeah.
And your gut produces 60-70% of your serotonin. So there's a very strong connection between your immune system, yes, and your mood. So in fact, the gut can affect your entire body. The microbiome should be in balance. You should have perhaps approximately, they're not very sure with the scientific research, the one research I read, approximately 85% of healthy bacteria, probiotic bacteria, and approximately 15% pathogenic that you're able to cope with. You don't want any, but you can't eradicate it completely.
Yeah.
So to keep that in check, you have to eat correctly. You have to drink correctly. You know, you've got to watch the junk food. You've got to watch the preservatives, chemicals, the additives, the growth hormones, the gluten, etc.
Yes.
All that will all influence your gut. It will cause leaky gut syndrome, where your intestinal cells that are normally bound very closely together in the lumen of your gut, proteins that these tight junctions that help it hold them together, with these other toxic elements, infections and preservatives, chemicals, etc., and allergens, it causes inflammation in that region, and then those cells split apart slightly. This is all microscopically, of course,
mm-hmm.
and then those toxic agents, chemicals, allergens, and pathogens can enter directly into the bloodstream and cause an immense immune reaction, and that travels throughout the body, and then you get an inflammatory immune response or cascade in other parts of the body, like the brain, or the sinuses, or can affect the adrenals, or it can go to the joints and cause arthritis or depression or a weakened immune system, or affect the thyroid, for example, and the connective tissue, cause autoimmune diseases. So the gut is paramount.
Yeah, this is incredibly important knowledge, and I think it really is not hammered on enough in medical schools and amongst medical professionals. I think, and I'm glad that the focus is now kind of shifting, because I think a lot of underlying diseases seem to actually be coming and starting from your gut. So it's great that we're starting to have conversations about this. It's actually about time.
Absolutely. So all those conditions like the IBS, the irritable bowel syndrome, and spastic colon, and the inflammatory bowel disorders, the colitises, and Crohn's disease, etc., most of them have an inflammatory origin. And in the pathophysiology, the inflammatory process is the process that's causing the damage. So it's so important to prevent that inflammation in the first time, in the first place. So that's why, you know, it's important to focus on diets, to focus on nutrition, probiotics, nutritional supplements, and then healthy, lifestyle. Also, you know, the smoking, the excessive alcohol, street drugs, you know, this all plays an important role in our health, as does sleeping. Sleeping is important as well, because quality sleep and your mindset is so important.
Staying positive, actually, definitely.
Yes, exactly. So part of a doctor's role is to educate and teach, but also to counsel. So you know, in an ideal world, the doctor would actually do a diploma in clinical psychology and in nutrition, and that would benefit them enormously in the long run in their practices.
Because then we'd actually, we'd really be healing people.
Exactly. Because you need the right mindset and motivation, and you have to know how to heal people mentally and emotionally. Because it affects them physically and vice versa.
And you need to teach
them what to eat and what to drink and how to exercise, you know.
No, couldn't agree
so
more.
It's a holistic approach. We're back to that holistic approach.
Tell me, Dr. Gunn, what are the most common tests you do that provide you with the most high-yield information about patients, as well as some main treatment modalities that you focus on, and how do they differ from conventional medicine?
All right, so in conventional medicine, as I said, that is your foundation. So you will always look at your clinical examination being first. You'll look at your blood chemistry. You will look at your x-rays, your ultrasonography. You'll look at your CT, MRI, PET, etc. scans and biopsies, histology, and genetic analysis. That is always the foundation.
Okay.
But then when you start entering the realm of integrated medicine, you now take your diagnostic capabilities and modalities further, and you'll start looking at, for example, using thermograms, so doing breast thermograms or other thermal images of the body. You will use frequency. You'll look at using biofrequency and recording the feedback that you get from scans that can test the frequencies emanating from our cells and organs in the body. There's
that's
a tremendous
insane.
Amount of research behind that, yes, conducted in Russia, in Germany, in the United States by NASA, by the Russian Space Agency, various universities and technical colleges. One will also look at, in more detail, environmental factors, analyzing the person, the individual, the patient's exposure to pollution, to toxins, to mine water drainage.
Actually, yeah, something that's often overlooked, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and then nutritional analysis. You want to know what is the status of the person's nutrition. Traditionally, doctors hardly ever examine the nutritional side. They might do an iron, or they might do a calcium, and maybe they'll do a B12. But vitamin D, for example, D3 is so important. It plays a role in the immune system. It's an anti-cancer agent. In fact, it's not technically a vitamin. It's actually a hormone. Cholecalciferol. And of course it plays its role in bones and osteoporosis, etc. So these extra modalities of testing, nutrition is something you should hone in on. You should look at the other types of tests. There's very advanced tests. For example, is a test you can send to Germany or to a Swiss laboratory in Europe, that can determine chemosensitivity, your tumor cells, and their sensitivity to chemo agents, which ones will work better than others. They can look at the genetics of your cancer and tell you which chemo agents also will work better. And they can look at natural anti-tumor, anti-cancer agents.
That's amazing.
For example, vitamin C in high doses. And determine if your cancer cells are sensitive to those natural anti-tumor agents. This gives you a tremendous more scope of treatment and empowers you with so much more knowledge to help your patient, to ultimately try and heal them with the least amount of harm. Yeah.
The more knowledge you do have about your patient, the more, like you said, the greater your
empowered.
Chance. Yeah, empowered
yes.
you are at the end of the day. Knowledge
Correct.
Is power. Dr. Gunn, I believe in America that integrative medicine is regarded as a distinct medical speciality. Is this the same in South Africa, and what implications does this have?
Joey, I'll just qualify that a bit. The traditional medical schools don't have a speciality per se, integrative medicine, but what they do is most of the top medical schools in the USA incorporate integrative medicine and CAM, complementary alternative medicine, into their curriculums and into their clinics and hospitals as part of their treatment protocols and programs.
Wow.
You can study a branch of integrative medicine called functional medicine.
Yes.
In the United States, and qualify in functional medicine, and you can study in anti-aging medicine through various academies as well and be accredited. So anti-aging medicine or healthy aging medicine and functional medicine is within the realm of integrative medicine. They offer those qualifications. South Africa, sadly, we're way behind the times. Our medical schools are still very conservative. They don't allow for CAM and integrative medicine as part of the curriculum.
It's quite sad.
It's sad because it's such a powerful tool. Integrative medicine is the fastest growing discipline in the health industry worldwide. More and more patients are demanding it. They're looking for it. They're seeking out doctors and physicians that can treat not only with pharmaceutical agents, but also with natural food supplements and medicinal herbs and plants. But, you know, it's about a greater effect, more efficacy, and less harm and less side effects. The world is moving in the direction of wellness, mental, physical, emotional wellness, and in the direction of natural and organic and closer to nature. It's now a case of science and nature fusing together.
Synergistically, isn't that wonderful?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Dr. Gunn, I actually just want to ask, because we have, in South Africa, we have quite an impoverished population. And I just want to kind of understand, are we trying to make a move forward that we can also, because integrative medicine, it's more of a new topic in South Africa, but are we trying to move it forward so that it's accessible to everybody?
Debbie, yes. Ultimately, this is the aim. We must be very cognizant of the fact that we have a large set of the population, as you mentioned, that don't have the means to even access good conventional health, never mind integrative, okay?
Definitely.
And however, integrative health also means growing your own organic vegetables and fruits, etc., in your own garden. So if we were to implement the basics, as you said, go back to your roots, literally and figuratively, you know, grow healthy food and grow to support your family. That's a good start. And then education about exercise, education about healthy lifestyle, avoiding toxic food, not smoking, limiting the alcohol, avoiding street drugs, etc. That's a good foundation to build on. Less people would be ill if they did that, but they didn't even have one operation or one pharmaceutical drug. If they did that, probably already 50% of the population would be healthier.
Right? Yeah, chronic disease decreased.
Perhaps more. Exactly. So by introducing access to integrative medicine, for example, we've mentioned like nutritional supplementation, like looking at other modalities of treatment, that could be brought into the clinics. The district clinics. It could be brought into the hospital, so
it should be,
those
actually.
People can access it. So yes, exactly.
With the benefits that it could provide. I mean, how much is this going to take for this education? It's something that should have been done a long while ago, and I think there's so much potential for this.
Yes, because other countries, for example, in China, they have two paradigms. They have the traditional Chinese medicine, which is based on thousands of years of oral history and experience passed on. And they also have the conventional orthodox medicine. So you actually can go and access, and normally you begin with the traditional Chinese medicine, TCM, which we prefer to call just Chinese medicine now because it's been upgraded more scientifically in terms of research. And then you would pass to the second system, which would be the more westernized conventional medicine, if the first tier, the first paradigm of natural medicine, if that fails, then you go to the second. So they have very successfully incorporated that, and it works very well. And bear in mind, they've got more than 1 billion people that they look after.
Talk about strain on a health system.
Exactly. And now India has the Ayurvedic system. And in the Amazon region, they're in South America, Brazil, they have Amazonian plants and herbal-based medicine that plays quite a big role in the population, as does in Africa. We have traditional African medicine. And once again there, I would like to upgrade it to African medicine, because we also have started to study and analyze the herbs, the medicinal herbs and plants that they use, for example, Fatherlandia and African potato, scalenium, alloferox. These are traditional medicines that have been studied scientifically, and we can now determine what are the active ingredients and how do they work.
And the mechanism of action, and then, and actually gain therapeutic value of it.
Exactly. So that's how you can merge. You can merge the wisdom of African traditional medicine. Take the well-researched medicinal plants, put that into a formulary, and include that as part of a total holistic approach to healthcare in our hospitals, clinics, and medical practices.
Definitely a lot of potential for research in that field.
Correct.
Boundless. I think, Dr. Gunn, what you have said here, a holistic approach to the patient is something that we as medical students should keep high in our minds. It's something that, we shouldn't look to treat symptomatically and manage. It's, as you said,
patients are not lists. It's not filling in a list, ticking off symptoms and then giving a drug. It shouldn't be this way.
You should choose between being a manager, where you manage disease, or a healer, where you aim to heal, achieve healing, and prevention, to prevent the disease in the first place. That will actually make you a top all-round doctor, where you can be satisfied that you have expertise at helping your patient prevent the disease in the first place. You can treat them and diagnose them better in the second place. And in the third place, your outcome of success is greater, that the greater chance with good education and motivation and achieving the right mindset that they will be healed at the end of the day and continue with maintenance to maintain a healthy mental and physical mind and body.
So I just want to say, Dr. Gunn, with all that having been said, thank you so much. I feel like you are honestly a walking brain. It's incredible to have conversations with you and just to get an insight into the passion that you have for medicine. It's very refreshing, especially for us in the settings that we are, where I feel a lot of the times we do feel helpless. But it's great to know that we definitely have hope, and this is something that we should definitely try and bring forward into our futures and our careers.
To strive towards.
Yeah, so thank you so much just for being on the show with us today. And thank you so much to our listeners. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And I hope you enjoyed as much as we have. I've definitely learned a lot.
Well, Debbie and Joey, I'd like to thank the two of you very much for giving me this opportunity. If this information and my experience can help your colleagues and the medical students that are going to be the new doctors of the future, it gives me enormous pleasure to be able to give you this information. And if anyone would like to know anything more about integrative medicine, they're welcome to contact me. I'm always open to teach and to learn and to help my fellow doctors and physicians.
And thank you so much. We really appreciate it. We need more doctors like you, definitely.
We do. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And then just to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us once again. Remember to give us a like on Facebook and Instagram. If you have any questions, please just slide into the DMs. And if you would like to get into contact with Dr. Gunn, if you want to learn anything from him, if you actually want to go see him yourself, let us know so we can put him into contact with you. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Ciao.